This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Poland says Russian drones entered its airspace and were shut down overnight with help from NATO allies. Poland describing the incident as an act of aggression. Qatar says Israel's strike on Hamas headquarters in Doha was a flagrant violation of international laws. Israel called the strike entirely justified following that deadly bus stop shooting in Jerusalem. Hamas claims no top-level leaders were killed. President Trump asked about the attack, saying he was disappointed.
President Trump was also asked about his ties to sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The president denies he wrote and signed a lewd note with a drawing of a woman's body for Epstein's birthday book back in 2003. Trump last night speaking about the note for the first time since lawmakers released it. He calls it a forgery. When asked if he's willing to meet with Epstein's survivors, Trump said he hasn't even thought about that.
ABC's Perry Russum. South Korean media says a chartered plane has left the U.S., returning Korean workers detained last week. This is ABC News. The health department is out with a new report on how to fulfill Secretary Robert F. Kennedy's promise that he will make America healthy again. It calls for more research and stepping up public-private partnerships. ABC's Jay O'Brien, though, says it leaves a lot of key questions unanswered.
The open question as to how HHS is operationalizing itself really focuses on what they're going to do with vaccines. Will Secretary Kennedy take further steps to try to limit access to any other vaccines the way he's taken certain steps to limit access to the COVID vaccine? That's certainly something that concerns some Republican senators up here on Capitol Hill. There was that fiery hearing just last week where at least three Republican senators pressed Kennedy on that issue and said they have questions about his job performance.
And after more than 10 years of work, researchers in Australia have come up with a vaccine to protect koalas from chlamydia. The disease is blamed for up to half of all deaths among koalas, which were put on the endangered species list 3 years ago. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Mr. Pat Kreitlow joins us from Lake Wissota.
Everything that I know about high culture, everything I know about opera, for example, comes from Bugs Bunny cartoon. The kids are missing out these days. They got Bluey and all of that.
Well, now it's all like real.
We had coyotes falling off of cliffs. Come on.
Exactly. And now it's all this educational crap.
We really have just become the two old men rocking on the porch talking about days gone by.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
The Packers in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last Sunday's game between the Packers and Lions drew 24 million viewers, the most watched week one game on CBS in 28 years. Tomorrow night, they host the Washington Commanders. Green Bay defensive end Micah Parsons has had some of his best games against Washington during his time with the Cowboys.
I don't know, just the strategy, coaching. Understand who you're playing against. They're just an explosive team, starting with that quarterback, and it just means a lot more. You got get to him.
The Packers could be without right tackle Zach Tom and left guard Aaron Banks, both dealing with injuries. There'll be game time decisions. And the team signing Christian Watson to a 1-year extension worth over $13 million, even though he's still rehabbing a torn ACL. College football, the Badgers will play at Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Game time 11 a.m. Danny O'Neill likely to start at quarterback again. Women's volleyball, the Badgers beating the UWM Panthers last night. 3-0 in straight sets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog early, along with a spotty shower or two. Otherwise, you can expect increasing sunshine with highs in the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid 50s. Sunny and summery on Thursday with a high of 79. Currently, it's 62.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Heather Heil of the Green Bay Children's Museum takes the John Candy quiz. Then I'm joined by Ethan Ogilvy, writer of the new rom-com The Threesome, which is just hitting theaters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Tom Arbol Show.
Content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy. We are kicking off hour number two, act two, as we like to call it, here on this Tuesday night, wherever you are joining me from over the state. Welcome, welcome, and please be part of the show. Text us your answer to tonight's question, and we will read your text on the radio. Tonight's question is, how do you feel about people who use flags, political, sports, entertainment, whatever, to accessorize their sweet rides? I am not a fan of car flags. I think they're kind of obnoxious, kind of a cry for help. Kind of shows that you might have emotional problems. Conrad is not a fan either.
They're hazardous.
They're hazardous. That's right. Someone could lose an eye. So let us know what your answer is, and we'll read it on the radio. It was great to talk to Frank Hermans, our friend from down the street at the Meyer Theater. Frank owns the damn Meyer Theater. He does great stuff. We talked about his new show opening on September 27th called Don't Squeeze the Charmin. You can get tickets at the Meyer Theater website. We also talked about how I had an audition to be a priest today. It's a lifelong dream of mine, well, to actually be a priest. And then I found out about the whole sex thing. Sort of shied away from it. And luckily, I would not have... Listen, if I become a priest, I never would have had sex those four times. So it'll be a joy to play one in a movie. So I think you're all caught up, folks. We have at 7:20, Nick Watier from the Green Bay Film Festival will be here to talk about an event I will be hosting this Saturday night at the Tarleton Theater for the great film The Anxiety Club, which draws a connection between anxiety and comedy. Mark Maron is in it, and the director, Wendy LaBelle, will be there as well. It should be a fun night. Get your tickets. We'll talk to Nick about that at 7:20. Right now, this is kind of a treat. I was not expecting to have my next guest on again so quick, but he's got big news, and he made a great documentary called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers with his pal and cousin from another mother, Kelly Call. So joining us now to talk about the new news regarding this really cool documentary is our pal Sean Hanisch. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing, Pete?
I'm doing well. Hey, I think you're officially like a sidekick now on the show. Like,
Listen, I'm not taking, you know, Conrad's place. I'm just, but I'll be like Doc Severinsen. I'll just like,
sure.
I'll play the trumpet a little bit.
Oh, I love that. That's the one thing I think this show has lacked is a trumpet player. So, fire away. How are you, man?
Man, I'm really good. I'm really good. You know, how can I not be good? You know, the Brewers have the best record in baseball. The Packers just crushed the Lions. I mean, even the Badgers won. So
yes.
Come on now.
Yeah, you're doing okay. You've got really big news too about your film. Like, I have so many questions about this, but tell us first where people can see it now for free.
Well, here, this is amazing because we are now, as of tonight in Madison, we're airing on free TV over broadcast in the state of Wisconsin on five different TV stations. This is definitely like a check your local listings situation. But I can tell you this. Tonight we're on Madison. We're on WISC TV, the W, which is Channel 3000, right after the Brewer game. So if you're in Madison and you're watching the Brewer game, we come right on after that. And just a bit outside, we'll be playing on your television in your house.
That's so great.
It's amazing. And tomorrow night, we are going to be on CBS 58 after the game in Milwaukee. So, I mean, well, you know, this is like a dream come true. You watch the Brewers game, and you get to watch our movie, you know, in the comforts of your own home. We're also going to be on at WSAW in Wausau. We're going to be on WGBA in Green Bay, right there, and then WKBT in La Crosse. But those last, you want to check your local listings to see when we're on. But you know, you don't have to go out to the movie theater. You don't got to worry about an app. You just turn on your TV, and we're, you know, we're right there for you.
Old school. That's fantastic.
It's really cool, actually.
I bet it is. And you're filmed, Sean. You don't have to censor or edit anything. It's good, clean, fun. It's a sports documentary about your beloved team and the Brewers' beloved fans that showed up to give a parade. For those of you who haven't heard Sean on the show before, and we've talked about this film a few times even without Sean, it's a great documentary about the 1982 Brewers and the response they got. Even though they lost the World Series to the St. Louis Cardinals, they were still given a parade by their loyal fans. It's just a really good feel-good documentary.
Thanks. I mean, I you know, it's so much fun to look back at 82 and, you know, the camaraderie, the community, the excitement, and really the appreciation for a team that, you know, worked hard day in and day out and really kind of captured, you know, the state of Wisconsin. You know, we're work hard, play hard people. And so it's so great, though, to have it come out now. Like, right. You know, I know you and your Cubs. I know that, you know, Pete, other than that, I think you're kind of perfect. But I will tell you to have it come out right now with like less than 3 weeks left in the season with Brewer fever at an all time high. I mean, it's like, watch the game, watch us win, and then watch the movie and watch us almost win, but win in the hearts and minds of all the fans.
Very well said. And how, tell us, you're also going to, it's also going to be airing as a radio program, Sean, which is even more old school and cool. How does that work?
You know, when they approached when our friends at Good Karma approached us and said, hey, we want to put this throughout the state. And what do you think about airing it as a radio program? I nearly fell off my chair. I was like, as a filmmaker, I never think of just the audio, right?
Right.
You don't think this is not an audio book. This is a movie. But what's funny is when Kelly and I listened, we were like, I think we can cut some time out of this. And we didn't watch it. We listened to the movie and we were like, oh, it totally holds up. There's nothing to cut here. If we cut something, we're cutting the story. So it's kind of uncanny in a way that, you know, we're okay. So yeah, on WTMJ in Milwaukee, I think at 6 o'clock next Monday night, they're airing over a 2.5 hour block the movie over the radio.
Oh my gosh.
Again, you know, as a filmmaker, you make a sports documentary that's just, you know, it's a passion project, right?
Sure.
Kelly and I were just like, we want to tell this story. We want to tell this story for us, you know, we want to tell a story for the fans. And all of a sudden you're in theaters throughout Wisconsin. Then you're on digital download. Then you're on Roku and Tubi. And then all of a sudden you're back on like broadcast, which is how we grew up as kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then the radio thing is too much. My head's going to explode.
It's funny, like, you're right, because you've already had this incredibly successful theatrical run. You got like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, the film is wildly successful. But if the first note you got was, we think this is perfect for radio, you might have ended your own life, right?
I would have been like, why did I go to film school?
Yeah, right.
you know?
Hey, tell us a little bit about that, Sean. Did you go to film? Where did you go to school? And how did you get, you know, you were a director and writer of movies long before Just a Bit Outside. You've had some great films you've made with really solid A-list cast. How did that happen for you? Did you go to film school?
Thank you. I had the good fortune. My dad was in advertising, so I was able to kind of grow up around sets and see behind the camera, you know, how people worked with people in front of the camera. So I had a, you know, cursory knowledge of that existence, right? Of what a production looks like. And then I went to Wisconsin as a pre-business major. I went to Madison.
Right.
And I didn't really have filmic aspirations until I took a film course as one of my electives in the Comm Arts department. And it was love at first sight.
Mm.
I loved making the soup. You know, we used to make films on film, right? We made them on Super 8, then on 16 millimeter. And then I had the good, great fortune of getting into the graduate program at University of Southern California Film School.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, as you know, it's renowned, and it kind of puts you, I don't want to say on the map, but it puts you in the location where it's all made, and or where the majority of it's made. It's made in a lot of places, but you know, it's called Hollywood for a reason. And so, you know, out here, you know, I wrote and I did commercials and I did all that kind of stuff until I decided to write a film, you know, really write a film that I was going to make. And that was called Return to Zero with Minnie Driver in it. And, you know, that was a film from my heart. You know, you guys can find it out there on all sorts of the streaming platforms. And she got nominated for an Emmy Award. And I got nominated for a Writers Guild Award. So that, you know, that launched, you know, I did a couple dramas after that, Sister Cities. And I did another film called St. Judy with Michelle Monaghan. That's on, I think, currently on Peacock.
Love
and
her.
Then, yeah, she's amazing. But I've had the opportunity to work with such incredible talent.
Yeah.
Alfred Molina, Common, Alfred Woodard.
Jeez.
And then, you know, COVID hit and production went down. And then that's when Kelly and I said, hey, we've been wanting to tell this story for 10 years. Let's go tell the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. And never having to make a documentary before, I kind of didn't know what I was getting into, to be totally honest. It took us 4 years to make, and now it's on your TV set, like even tonight.
My guest is Sean Hannish. He is one of the creative brains behind Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. And as you mentioned, Sean, your partner on this was Kelly Call, a CBS executive. I think he was the president, right, of CBS for years. How, and you guys found out when that you were related. I find that almost as fascinating as anything else.
Well, here's the, okay, let me get back to it. Kelly and I met at Madison in my second year.
Okay.
So Kelly and I have known each other for a long time. I mean, we're getting almost on four decades. And it was only 2 years ago that he was looking on 23andMe and found, he lives in the South Bay area of Los Angeles in Hermosa Beach. And I live in Pasadena. And he saw a little dot in Pasadena with my initials on it. And he zoomed in and he was like, no way.
That's so great.
And he texted me, he's like, dude. And I was like, dude. So it's crazy. I mean, it's kind of funny because Kelly and I have known each other forever, but we never really worked this closely on a project before. So in the middle of that, to find out you share a great grandparent out there, it's cuckoo.
I love it. Sean, just we've got about a minute left. Tell people how they can find out where these airings are again. Do you have a website or should we just run through them again quickly?
I'd like to run through them again because we actually don't know. There's three stations that haven't announced dates yet. So tonight, Madison, Channel 3000, TVW is going to be Just a Bit Outside on your television right after the Brewer game, which has just started. We're in the top of the first. And in Milwaukee, it's going to be on tomorrow night, Wednesday, on CBS 58, which is also called CBS 58, WMLW. And then there are three other stations around the state airing it: Wausau, WSAW, Green Bay, WGBA, and La Crosse, WKBT. Please check your local listings. We can't wait for you to see the film at home.
I'm sure you'll be back in 2 or 3 weeks with even bigger news, and we'll be happy to have you. So congrats again on the success, and maybe a new film if they win. Think about it, Sean.
in a, just so you know, Kelly and I want to make a documentary about the Brewers winning the World Series.
Of course.
So we're in.
All right. Fantastic. Sean Hannish, ladies and gentlemen, check out Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Brewers. Always fun to talk to Sean. Thank you, buddy. We are coming right back with Nick Watier, who is here from the Green Bay Film Festival. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I love Angela Lang, and I think Dan Schaefer is great. Dan Schaefer could replace me in a heartbeat. Angela Lang could replace me in a heartbeat. There are so many more talented people. I'm the only one willing to get up before 4 a.m. to do this show. You get the guy old enough to have to wake up and pee, and that's the whole business model behind this show. You're welcome, Mr. and Ms. Middle America.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. Great to have you folks. We're having a lot of fun here. We're having probably more fun than people should typically have on a Tuesday. I don't know, what do you think, Con?
Yeah, we're having a bunch of fun talking about, you know, flags.
Flags, baseball documentaries, yes. A new show from Frank Hermans right here in downtown Green Bay. Don't squeeze the Charmin or squeeze the Charmin. And now the fun rolls on with a really cool event we're going to discuss with our next guest coming up this weekend at the Tarleton Theater. Nick has been on the show before a few times, and he is with Green Bay Film Festival. They do a great job, and he's always fun to talk to. And he joins me now in studio, Nick Watier. Hey, buddy.
So great to be here, Pete. Thank you for having me again.
My pleasure. And you seem a little less stressed than last time you were here. Come off some crazy road trip.
Well, yeah, I just found out, like, last night that I'm the busiest person in the company this okay. year. So I just came off of a 6-day stretch out in Iowa for a Banda Machos concert where to do video.
You do all the audio
The video, the staging.
So this is separate of, just so you're, those of you listening, this is separate from the Green Bay Film Festival where he's also very busy. So
right. Well, yeah. And now I'm leaving again tomorrow to go to Illinois for the McHenry Music Festival. So I'm going to be gone for another, you know, 5-day stretch. We call it the weekend warrior. You leave on Wednesday, work concerts through the weekend, and then you're usually home Monday or Tuesday.
When everybody likes to party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My life is lived when everybody else is, you know, clocking in for their 9 to 5.
Do you get a per diem?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, there you go. You're all set.
And usually the hotels are covered for me. So
well, that's always that's all good. It's a nice added perk. Nick, tell us about, all right, I'm going to let you do this because we had the director of the film, The Anxiety Club, on last night.
I heard.
Which is the event we're doing this Saturday, and you've asked me to come by and host the Q&A. I'm very much looking forward to that. I love doing that kind of stuff. But tell us a little bit about the event this Saturday night.
Yeah, so we're at the Tarleton Theater, as always. Beautiful theater downtown Green Bay. Used to be known as the Historic West. And they still have the beautiful tile mosaic in the floor showing it.
Nice.
It's actually on the historical register. I don't know if your listeners knew that.
Okay,
but
yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be there 5 o'clock. We've got, I believe it's 8 films in our first session that are all, you know, comedy-centric. There might be a little reach in each direction, a little bit of drama here, a little bit of romance there. But this is specifically an event for the comedy fans. And then in our final session, we'll have 3 films, the last one being Anxiety Club, where, I mean, as your listeners heard last night, just astounding interviews with stand-up comedians talking about their struggles and their experiences with anxiety. And really, I mean, one of the most relatable stories I've seen. And so interesting to me to have a documentary film that's also a comedy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got a chance to see the advanced screener yet, but it's just, it's... There's so much humor in the stand-up, and then behind the scenes, seeing the process that it took to turn their life experiences into stand-up is just, it's kind of eye-opening.
I'm really curious. I was part of a Zoom call last week that the director, Wendy, set up, and we'll talk more about who's going to be there, because that's interesting, too. But I'm trying not, I like to watch, when I host Q&As, I like to watch a film with a crowd.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because Mark Maron, who is a famous stand-up comedian and podcaster, is in it. She's got some great subjects. It looks like it, I mean, it fascinates me because I was telling Wendy last night, every comedian I met or the ones I liked the most had a little, they were a little neurotic.
Oh, yeah.
And they were a little anxiety ridden. And to me, the people that can find the humor in themselves through that,
absolutely.
I find are my favorite comedians.
Well, and it's not just comedians. I think you see it in all levels of performance. Like in a past life, I've spent a lot of time around professional wrestlers, and like those guys all have their own, you know, struggles.
Mm.
Some of them are anxiety issues. Some of them are, you know, just personality traits, not liking to open up and express. I've seen some of the most introverted people get a microphone in their hands and just tear up a room like you wouldn't believe, right? So it's interesting to see how those things play. And I'm just really excited to have this Anxiety Club film present to us, and that they agreed to partner up with the ATT Center and get therapists in the room to talk about, like, yes, we're going to take time to enjoy a movie, and if you have questions about filmmaking process, absolutely, please be there and ask those questions. But we're also going to have people who are, you know, pioneers in the mental health community that are able to talk to that element of it. You know, I don't know if I've said this on the show before, but the Green Bay Film Festival is actually a product of Film Green Bay Incorporated, a 501c3 nonprofit. So when we're programming, yes, we want to show great films, and we're working on, you know, making sure the quality of the product we bring to town is high. But we're also looking at ways that we can help serve our community and help reach a wider audience that might need something they didn't even know they needed. So to be able to bring the Anxiety Club and this talk back is great. We've done things before, partnering with the Jackie Nitschke Center, talking about, you know, alcoholism and drug abuse problems. We've had partnerships with the family services. So that's really something that we as an organization try to do is find other places we can partner with and help them reach new audiences as well.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great night. And if you haven't been to a film festival, folks, I highly recommend it because you get an inside look into the mind of the filmmaker. And in this case, like you said, the AT&T Center, Nick, I was going to ask you about that. They will be there talking about the mental health side of things. So it's going to be a really fun evening. We also, folks, are going to do a ticket giveaway here. We've got 4 tickets to the screening this Saturday night at 7 o'clock. And there are 2 films going on before the Anxiety Club. We'll tell you about those 2. When we come back, we're going to break for news. But all you have to do to qualify for free tickets to the screening this Saturday night at the Tarleton for the Anxiety Club is text in, Conrad.
Tickets.
Tickets. Just send in tickets and we'll take it from there and we'll get you all set up. We've got four of them and it's going to be a fun night. I am very much looking forward to it. I've never seen the inside of the Tarleton.
Oh my goodness. You're going to love it.
I know. All right. We're going to talk more with Nick when we come back after the news. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwab, and it's great to have you here on this Tuesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Can you go on a journey way into the land? Can you start breaking down? Cause you're under strain and you're jumping on. Yes, you're jumping on a fast train.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Poland says Russian drones entered its airspace and were shut down overnight with help from NATO allies. Poland describing the incident as an act of aggression. Qatar says Israel's strike on Hamas headquarters in Doha was a flagrant violation of international laws. Israel called the strike entirely justified following that deadly bus stop shooting in Jerusalem. Hamas claims no top-level leaders were killed. President Trump asked about the attack, saying he was disappointed.
President Trump was also asked about his ties to sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The president denies he wrote and signed a lewd note with a drawing of a woman's body for Epstein's birthday book back in 2003. Trump last night speaking about the note for the first time since lawmakers released it. He calls it a forgery. When asked if he's willing to meet with Epstein survivors, Trump said he hasn't even thought about that.
ABC's Perry Russum. South Korean media says a chartered plane has left the U.S., returning Korean workers detained last week. This is ABC News.
The Packers in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last Sunday's game between the Packers and Lions drew 24 million viewers, the most watched week one game on CBS in 28 years. Tomorrow night, they host the Washington Commanders. Green Bay defensive end Micah Parsons has had some of his best games against Washington during his time with the Cowboys.
I don't know, just the strategy, coaching, understand who you're playing against. They're just an explosive team, starting with that quarterback, and it just means a lot more. You got get to him.
The Packers could be without right tackle Zach Tom and left guard Aaron Banks, both dealing with injuries. There'll be game time decisions. And the team signing Christian Watson to a one-year extension worth over $13 million, even though he's still rehabbing a torn ACL. College football, the Badgers will play at Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Game time 11 a.m. Danny O'Neill likely to start at quarterback again. Women's volleyball, the Badgers beating the UWM Panthers last night. 3-0 in straight sets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of The Office should probably know by now there is a spinoff of the show called The Paper. The show dropped last week and is shot in the same mockumentary style as The Office was. The pilot of the show lacked some of that natural quirkiness that The Office had. There were a few laughs, but I don't see the show going that far without a Steve Carell or Rainn Wilson. If you're interested to see for yourself, check out The Paper on Peacock. The highly awaited Task has dropped on HBO. Series creator and showrunner Brad Inglesby is also the creative force behind the critically acclaimed Mayor from Easttown. Heading up the cast is Mark Ruffalo, who is joined by Tom Pelfrey, Amelia Jones, and Nightlight pal Jamie McShane. The show follows a task force led by Ruffalo that is trying to stop a series of home robberies. I watched the pilot, which aired last weekend, and really dug it. Unfortunately, we only get one episode a week from HBO. New episodes drop at 9 p.m. Sunday nights. Definitely worth a look, and if you haven't seen it yet, check out Mayor from Easttown with Kate Winslet. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog early, along with a spotty shower or two. Otherwise, you can expect increasing sunshine with highs in the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s, sunny and summery on Thursday with a high of 79. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Albaugh.
Wisconsin has a new candidate for governor. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. He'll join the program at 3:35, and we'll kick around politics with Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. You've got Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it is a Tuesday night here in downtown Green Bay. It is absolutely beautiful. We're just down the street from the beautiful Tarleton Theater, and we're talking about a really cool event that is taking place this Saturday with my guest, Nick Watier, who is here representing the Green Bay Film Festival. A really cool festival. I have to ask you, Nick, and I think I've asked you this before, but I don't remember what you said. A lot of film festivals, I would say most, block like a whole week or 4 or 5 right. days in a row. You guys have events throughout the year, with the exception of summer, maybe. What got you there? What was it? What was the game plan there?
Yeah, so the film festival in Green Bay was very traditional originally, where we would do Friday, Saturday, Sunday screenings. We would have hundreds of people come through, and they still couldn't see everything, right? Because we'd have 3 or 4 screens going, and, you know, oh, I want to go watch this film with my kids, and oh, I want to go watch this documentary, and you'd really have to plan your weekend and schedule to see everything. So one of the ideas we had, again, being a nonprofit, we wanted to spread ourselves around town more and be known as more than just a once-a-year event. So we started offering what we called our Films Around Town events, and this was an opportunity to see, like, well, maybe you don't have time to go to the comedies and the romance films against each other. So around Valentine's Day, let's run a second screening of the romance films as like a dinner theater experience. Okay. So we'd partner with local diners, bring a screen and projector, have people come in and do a package deal to experience those films. And then they could have a little bit more freedom when it came to the festival and choose whether they wanted to see that again or experience something different. Well, that evolved over time, and Films Around Town, honestly, was phenomenal for us. It was a lot of work on our volunteer teams, but we would do from the first week of January to the festival in March, and every week we would have one screening a week. As we've progressed, we've noticed that, you know, post-COVID, live audiences haven't come back as strong. And I think that that's true of most industries. I mean, the concert yeah. world definitely has seen a change as well professionally for me. But what we've noticed is a lot of people want to be specific in what they pick. There's a lot of options out there for entertainment and you know, weekend plans. So for us, we've decided to do multiple events throughout the year. Like next year, we're planning to. We'll have a spring and we'll have a fall. And really, the goal of that is to give people a better opportunity to stay in touch, stay connected, and not feel like they have to give something else up to experience everything that we have to offer.
Interesting. Yeah.
And it also affords us the opportunity to do special events, like having you come in to do a specialized talkback. We can afford to give you and the filmmakers and the people from the ATT Center, we can afford to give you a half hour to have a talkback and not have to rush you out of the room because there's another film coming right after.
Right.
You know, it's kind of my personal theory at this point that people have become accustomed to a 2 to 3 hour experience. Okay. If you go to the movie theater for more than 2.5 hours, you're probably having a hard time following it. If you're watching a football game that goes into the fifth quarter, you're getting a little antsy, right?
Right.
So what I've tried to do, at least with my share in directing the team, is try to program our days around that two and a half hour experience, you know, and maybe we need a break in the middle, you know. Tarleton has great food, so if you want to eat, grab something to eat between the two sessions, right? But really, we try to build two-hour experiences that can feel complete and can feel like you've experienced everything that's there for you.
That's a great answer. And I like, too, that when you, you know, if someone's going out of town, you miss an entire film festival. But with you guys, you have these great thematic events throughout the year.
Right.
And I think it's a really interesting way to do things. So let's recap here, folks. Pardon me. We do have four tickets we're giving away for the screening this Saturday night. The film is The Anxiety Club. There are two short films playing before The Walking Greg and Miss Rossi versus The Nona. So those will play, and then The Anxiety Club, great documentary about stand-up comedy and, you know, some of the anxiety the comedians deal with, and the director will be there. I'll be hosting the talk back.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a great night at the Tarleton Theater this Saturday night starting at 7 o'clock. So if you text in the word ticket, we can give away a total of four. So if you want one, if you want two, I guess we'll do
Let us know.
Four, all four, take them. First one that texts in tickets. So and a fun night in downtown Green Bay this Saturday for sure. I did not get my signing bonus, by the way.
Oh, we will take care of that.
Okay, fantastic. all right, so Nick is here. He is the executive director, correct, of the Green Bay Film Festival?
I'm a director.
The Big Cheese, the head honcho, top notch, A number one?
Technically, I am the treasurer.
Okay.
Of the film festival.
Oh, that's right.
So and that's one of my pet projects too, is helping films get made, right?
Yeah.
That's really where I'm passionate. The festival is a great thing. I love to build it, but really I love to see artists take the ball and run with it and see what they're able to create.
Let's talk about that, cuz the Green Bay Film Festival offers sponsorship for filmmakers.
Yeah, so there's a program we've discovered called fiscal sponsorship, fiscal receivership. Basically, it's designed to help nonprofit organizations get formed. So if somebody wanted to form a new nonprofit organization, there's a whole bunch of paperwork and legal work that needs to go behind it. There's auditing. And one way of getting through that process is to have another organization sponsor you. Basically, you borrow their tax exemption information while you're going through the process of becoming a 501c3. Well, we're also able to sponsor any projects that fit the mission and vision statement that we've put out there with the government. So we're trying to create establish the city of Green Bay as a hub for film creation and enjoyment. So any project that follows some very basic rules, like you can't be political campaigning, you can't be pushing a religious agenda. You know, there's like five bulleted items on a list that we need to make sure that you're in compliance with. We can offer funding to assist that project through completion. So right now I've got about five different film projects that are basically running their finances through the Green Bay Film Festival, through Film Green Bay Incorporated. And what this allows is for us to receive tax deductible donations. So businesses that are like, oh, yeah, we really want to help this artist. We really want to support them and get their vision seen. They can cut a donation to our 501c3. It's a tax write-off. We hold those funds on their behalf. And as the filmmakers incur expenses, we pay those invoices. So if you want to go out and you want to rent an RE set of lights or camera, you want to, you know, go out and get some costuming or pay some location fees or pay your actors. Basically, all those organizations send an invoice to the film festival and I cut the checks by hand out of the money that was donated to us. So it's a peace of mind for the donors to know that the money is actually going towards what they wanted, that somebody isn't just collecting donations and then GoFundMe pays out and they buy a boat and you never hear from again.
Right.
So we're like that level of checks and balances.
Interesting.
So, and right now I'm super excited. We did an event last year for the 50th anniversary of the giant spider invasion. You had me on to promote that event. It was fantastic. We had a great group of people, but even more important to me than that was getting the opportunity to meet the team. And in networking, we've talked about, you know, their visions and goals, and this is a 50-year-old film, but we want to celebrate it. Well, they've partnered with the original director and some new people that were big fans, and they're actually adding a half hour of new footage.
How about that?
Newly shot footage to the film. And yeah, we've got two corporate sponsors. They've got, I can't say specifics, but several thousand dollars have been donated to cover the expenses of shooting this new footage, re-editing the film. And really, it's going to be a brand new experience. And Bill, you know, he said, you know, yeah, when I told that story, when I made that film, you know, it was this way, but there were always these little plot holes that I wanted to patch, and there were these jokes I wanted to work in. Well, now they're doing it with new actors, and, you know, with modern editing technology, they can antique the footage.
I am so looking forward to seeing how this turns out.
Oh, me too.
Because it's such a big undertaking. It's ambitious, and it's cool.
Well, and I'm fortunate in my role, right, is part of my job is to verify that this is legitimate.
Yeah.
So I get dailies. I get little screeners and teasers and behind the scenes photos. And it's so cool to see these things happening. And, you know, for me as a finance person, I'm basically watching a line in a checking account. I'm, you know, verifying that people are doing this, but also in this process, I'm making connections. So I now know four or five cinematographers in the state of Wisconsin that I never knew before, because I'm cutting them checks. I'm making phone calls to make sure that, you know, they're billing fair rates.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of building a database of sorts for, you know, other filmmakers that want to connect. I can help you.
That's Nick Wattier. He is the treasurer of the Green Bay Film Festival. They are doing some really cool things. They have kind of a different format that's working for them, a non-for-profit organization. They're helping people get films made. Just an outstanding organization. So you said we've got a couple openers before this Saturday, before the Anxiety Club. And then you also mentioned a film called The Last Vaudevillian.
Yeah, so that'll be playing in the early session. We've got three films in the 7 p.m. session, and there's also a 5 p.m. session. The Last Vaudevillian will be there. Devin from that film is going to be there. It's a super cute look at, this is my summary, not theirs, but imagine, you know, from the old talkie days, Charlie Chaplin and like, what would life be like for that character if he existed in the real modern world? You know, walking down the street, bumping into somebody, and how he responds and reacts. It's a really cool look from an improv troupe that, you know, put a little time and energy into telling a narrative story in a different way for them.
The Tarleton is showing The Anxiety Club this Saturday night at 7 o'clock. I will be there hosting a talkback or Q&A after the film. It's a great film about comedy and the connection it has to mental health and anxiety, thus the title. Wendy Lobel was on the show last night. Mark Maron is in the film. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you text in now, just the word ticket or tickets, we've got a couple free tickets for you this Saturday. So let us know. What else do you have coming up? We talked about these other events. You got a sci-fi.
We've got sci-fi coming up. That'll be October 11th again.
What are your most popular themes when you guys do this stuff?
Honestly, the ones that Green Bay shows up for the most is horror.
Okay.
Like, Green Bay loves their horror films, which we've kind of snuck in a little bit into the sci-fi, kind of crossed into a little bit of that, okay, that scary element. The other things that I've seen do really well, honestly, are foreign documentaries. Because a lot of times those are films that you're hearing a story from a perspective you're not going to find any other.
Right.
Way. Right. To take a camera and go overseas and meet people and not see it through the filtered lens of the news. Not saying that the news is bad, but they have a job to fill time. Right.
Right.
And to have a filmmaker go out that's invested in a story, find the people and tell that story with their words is amazing.
Nick, I will see you Saturday night. This has been fun. You got to come back. Keep us posted. You're right down
love
the street.
Here.
I love helping you guys get the word out because I think you're doing great things down there, and I'm very much looking forward to Saturday night.
I appreciate you so much.
You got it. All right, Nick Wattier, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully we'll see you out there. You can meet Nick in person on Saturday, and you can say hello to me too. I hope that's not a deterrent anyway.
But no, I hope not.
All right. It's Nightlight with Peach Wobble. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
building and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Hunters, beware what you eat. Wisconsin health officials have issued a new consumption advisory for ducks harvested on Green Bay. Testing shows mallard and wood ducks on the bay are contaminated with toxic PFAS forever chemicals. UW-Madison researchers have linked contamination in the bay to Tyco fire products near Marinette. A key research center on the Mississippi River is falling prey to big federal cuts targeting science. The French Island facility, known as an ecosystem research area, produces information on water quality, invasive species, wildlife diseases, and more. Heavy cuts to the program take effect on October 1st and could effectively eliminate more than a century of scientific research. Knowledge is power. Right now on the Defender podcast, $150 million is available to help Wisconsinites upgrade their homes and cut energy use. Learn how to get started at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. National Voter Registration Day is coming up on September 16th, with nationwide events to encourage eligible voters to register and check their registration. With no national election as incentive this year, organizers point to local and special elections and a readiness to vote in the 2026 midterms as reasons to consider registering or reviewing registration status. The U.S. Census estimates 174 million Americans were registered to vote in 2024 out of an eligible voting age population of 236 million citizens. Pew Research found 18% of non-voters cited not being registered as a major reason for not voting. For those who are registered, changes in election law, such as more frequent purges of inactive voter registrations and lack of citizenship documents on file, could potentially make millions of Americans ineligible prior to the 2026 midterms. Many states offer online tools to check registration status. National Voter Registration Day's organizers said in a statement that over 1,700 community partners and 3,500 local organizations will participate this year, including municipalities, schools, and support agencies. More information for interested community partners is available at nationalvoterregistrationday.org. We have links to the site and our past series on why more Americans don't vote at americandemocracyminute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The author of Bowling Alone says, let's foster new forms of electronic entertainment and communication that reinforce community engagement. Well, that's civic media. That's Up North News, trying to get more of us off the couch, give you good information while you are listening, but then to step up, get out there into your community and bring a friend to the voting booth.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. We are in the home stretch here. I am Pete Schwabba. It is great to have you here. We've got a few more minutes here. Tomorrow night on the show, this will be fun. There is a new documentary out about John Candy. And our guest tomorrow night, our first guest, Heather Heil from the Green Bay Children's Museum. It's almost weird to associate Heather with just one thing because she's kind of like knows everything about Green Bay.
She
and
does.
She can talk about anything. And she's just a really fun guest. She'll be here in studio tomorrow night. At 6:35, talking about John Candy. Conrad and I are going to give her a John Candy quiz. So that will be fun. So if you love John Candy or you love Heather Heil or both, tune in tomorrow night. We'll do that. And then at 7:35 tomorrow night, Ethan Ogilby, he is the writer of The Threesome, which was wildly successful at film festivals, so much so they put it in theaters. They gave it a pretty wide release for a little indie comedy, but it doesn't look like an indie. The production value is great. Zoe Deutsch is the star of it. She's a rock star. And it's just a really good, funny, thoughtful movie. So Ethan will be here. He is the writer, the scribe, as they say in Hollywood. He'll be here tomorrow night at 7:35 talking about his film. And fun night tomorrow on Nightlight. And the question of the night will involve John Candy. So I'll just tease you with that as well. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight. I would like to thank my guests tonight, Nick Watier, Sean Hannish, and Frank Hermans. Always fun. The always fun Frank Hermans. Who is our Nightlight window love person of the night? He did two poses. He did a two-parter. So I had to post both pictures on Facebook. So if you go to Facebook, you can see Frank, me, and Frank. It's good stuff. So, all right, Michael Keaton had a birthday recently. We have like three or four clips of Michael Keaton. This one we're about to play is one of my favorites. It's from Night Shift, kind of the film that put him on the map. This is even pre-Mr. Mom. And he stars along with Henry Winkler. Henry Winkler runs the morgue, the New York City morgue, and Michael Keaton plays Bill Blazejowski, who got a job at the morgue. And the two really don't like each other, but they find this money-making venture where they become basically, what's the word, Conrad? I don't like the word pimp. But they're, you know.
I mean, yeah.
They're love brokers, as Michael Keaton calls them in the movie, love brokers. So they take care of these women, and they set them up in business and all kinds of stuff. But this is a scene where Michael Keaton is trying to win over a room full of escorts like only Michael Keaton can.
What are we really talking about here? Huh? What's the essence of what we're talking about? I'll spell it out for you if I have to. Prostitution!
Hmm? What are you kidding, Alex? What is
this? Prostitution. Hey, we can say it. We're big kids now, right? You know, a lot of times it'll help you to understand a word if you break it down. So let's do that now, shall we? Pros doesn't mean anything. Forget about that. Tit, I think we all know what that means. Two. Okay, two. Tit. And shun, of course, from the Latin to shun. To say no, huh? Thank you anyway. I don't want it. To push away. Doesn't even belong in this word, really. So let's get rid of that. You know, if I can take a moment here, and I mean this, what I'm about to say, I feel a lot of love in this room. I don't know, maybe it's me, but I'll tell you something. I was here a minute ago, and it's really beautiful. So at this moment, I think it's important that I see all of your breasts. Or I don't have to. I don't see the breasts.
The best part of that scene is he's breaking down the word on the chalkboard.
Yes.
And he says, P-R-O-S, pros. He doesn't even go pros. Just beautiful. Michael Keaton is a gem in that movie. So funny. And do we have time for a little more Michael Keaton?
Yeah, I have a short clip from
Let's
the other guys.
One. Yeah, that's a good one.
And it's just his character, Captain Jean. And I think it's this just little clip sums up what he does and how he is in the whole movie.
All right, beautiful.
Subject, but is Kevlar copyright?
Kevin?
Yeah.
Is it bad time?
Come on.
You're mad at us, huh, Gene?
First off, don't call me Gene. I'm your captain. Guys, do you remember the Be Smart speech?
Sure. All right. Then what'd you do? What'd you do about it?
The opposite. We were not smart, Captain Gene.
It's just Captain.
It's just Captain. It's not Captain Gene. I don't have a kiddie show. It sounds creepy, Captain Gene.
He's so great. How long is the Mr. Mom one? Do we have time for that one?
Well, we got a couple texts we still need to read.
Oh, we got to read. No, I already read Steady. Yeah, you got Mark from Prairie to Sac. They call it the Sac, you know. Mark from the Sac. You could say
yeah.
It doesn't even sound obscene or anything. He's in the 608. He said, Mark says, you talk about flags, brought the what now oldie signs to mind. A slight twist to the chorus. Oh, Signs, the song by Tesla, I think it is. Flag, everywhere a flag, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, do that, can't you read the flag? You didn't know I could sing, did you?
That was beautiful. I'm tearing up.
And then he's got the little emoji with the tongue sticking out and a wink. Thank you, Mark, but don't ever make me sing again, please. Thanks for listening, buddy. Joe from the 715 says, not a big fan of flags. Don't make it your personality or lack thereof. Maybe the flag is the personality. Thank you, Joe. Bridget from the 818 says, I wouldn't do it, but if others do, that is fine with me, unless it is a huge Trump flag. That bothers me. Okay. Yeah, those are pretty big ones, too. Those are huge flags. And they do block, like, the ones with the big, like I was talking mostly about the little ones that stick out of the windows, but
yeah,
the big ones that like come back, it's like, I don't know, folks. I'm just trying to figure things out. Hey, thank you all for listening. Thank you for your texts and calls, folks. We will be back tomorrow night with another great show, great guests, and a really fun question. That's all tomorrow night on Nightlight. Have yourself a great evening. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Poland says several Russian drones entered its airspace and were shot down over its territory. Poland describes the incident as an act of aggression. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
It comes less than a week after Russian President Vladimir Putin traveled to China, showing unity with leaders of China and North Korea. Since that meeting, Russia has staged its largest aerial attack on Ukraine since the war began.
Several European leaders say they think Russia is intentionally escalating the war with Ukraine. The European Union Commission president says she will seek sanctions and a partial trade suspension against Israel over the war in Gaza. Israel, meantime, insisting it had the right to target Hamas leaders in Doha, Qatar. Qatar says it was a violation of international law. The move has drawn widespread condemnation and risks upending ceasefire talks between Israel and Hamas. The Supreme Court says it will hear arguments over whether most of the Trump tariffs can remain in place in early November. This is ABC News. As we-